The current spoiler warning level is Emerald.
Friends and folks, this episode is a special episode, and the spoiler warning on this one is a little difficult to quantify. So, bear with me for a moment. We are going to be talking about the sequel novel series, light novels, to Gundam Wing Frozen Teardrop, which have no English translation, and to my knowledge, GGP has absolutely no plans to cover, nor should they, because it's pretty bad. We're not going to be talking about a mobile suit from it, necessarily. We're going to be talking about the whole plot, just going through it as fans of Gundam Wing who've always wondered about Frozen Teardrop. As long as you're okay with that, you are all good for spoilers on this episode, except for near the end, there is a little bit of talk about what happens in Endless Waltz in fairly vague terms, but even so, I will offer a red alert at that time so that you can know to tap out if you don't want to hear that. Please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Mechanista NG. This is a podcast where we classically talk about a mobile suit or mobile armor or mobile, the spiel by now, about its design, you know, aesthetically and mechanically and symbolically and all that jazz. But this is a special episode. We are taking a little time out of our, I'm going to say, busy schedule. We both have pretty busy schedules.
Yeah.
I'm Six Detmar.
Hello, everyone. I am your Mechanista co-pilot for this episode, Alan Ibrahim. You may know me from some other Scanline podcasts, such as Oops All Anime, Oops More Anime, which in a way was the progenitor to Mechanista NG. So we had our, what was the full name of it? Our Anaheim
Electronics? Los Angeles Electronics of Anaheim.
There it is.
I believe. There it is.
The side podcast that Six and I did last year. Last year?
Where we, oh my god, time.
Getting old. I'm a grandmother. I'm 16.
Where we watched Gundam Unicorn, which we're not going to be talking about here at all, obviously. But we did that and also talked about mobile suits. And Six
and narrative
took that
Gundam
idea
as well.
And narrative, yes. Oh man, I remember that.
Yeah.
So I have some experience with mechs, and I'm also a story consultant on Scanline Tabletop, technically. Sometimes Six DMs me and says, hey, is this good? And I say, yes. That's my job.
Man, wait till you hear the next episode. We went wild. One of the interesting things about Alan and I is our friendship formed over Gundam. Specifically, I would say over Gundam Wing and Gundam Versus.
It's true.
Those two things brought us together, and now the Great Gundam Project, which is a podcast that I am very appreciative of. I think
as am I.
Most people who listen to Mechanista are probably GGP fans.
It's a good show.
They're watching through all of Gundam, and as this is coming out, they will have just finished New Mobile Report Gundam Wing.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to Emma Jackson. And we thought no better way to celebrate than to talk about something they will never cover, right? If you talk about Gundam Wing, there is, of course, the sequel movie. There is Endless Waltz.
/OVA.
Right. And then, and you're like, okay, and that's where the timeline stops. No.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and other folks, to the Mars Century.
The Mars Century, where this is after Colony, is the Mars Century.
and is New Mobile Report Gundam Wing Frozen Teardrop. This is a series of novels. It's not even manga or anime. Mm. And by all reports, including reports from Alan, who spent a little time trying to read some translations, it's fucking terrible.
It's challenging, to say the least. My experience with this is that you showed me that, and I would love it if you played it for the folks at some point in this episode.
Oh, I intend to, yes.
Yeah, the like, I don't know if it's a fan-made theme song for Frozen Teardrop, but basically the intent of Frozen Teardrop was, hey guys, we really liked Gundam Wing. People like those boys a lot. What if we just did that again, and they had kids, and we saw what happened to the After Colony and all those folks after the events of Gundam Wing and Frozen.
How many people can I make angry by saying it's the Zeta Gundam of Wing?
You offended me, so that's you ticked off the box. Well, it's like at least an entire generation later, and you know, so I don't know how old Hero and Company are by the time we get to Frozen Teardrop.
Okay, so it's the Unicorn.
Yeah, there you go.
It's double
closer.
Zeta? It's the Victory.
Maybe
I don't know.
Let's look into it. Let's find out. Let's get some years, because we know that Gundam Wing takes place in After Colony 195. So,
well, the wiki here says that it takes place approximately 20 to 30 years after the events of New Mobile Report Gundam Wing.
Okay, so that's a pretty big gap, is the point. Mm-hmm. Every time I've tried to read this, like you said, I've tried out, like, there are easily accessible translations online. Problem is that none of them are official, so the translations are bad. Anytime you're trying to read like authorial intent, you're like, I don't even know if this is the right word that you're using here. And also, even when you get the gist of it, it's just weird. This is not a story. Gundam already is like not a story that takes place over long periods of time like this. It's like sort of specific portraits of history. And to zoom out and be like, but what if this kept happening? I'm fascinated by it. And every time I've looked into it and seen art of it or heard like hearsay about what happens in this one, besides like the designs and stuff, it just sounds like some, and I love fan fiction, but I say this with heart, but it seems like the worst kind of fan fiction. What if the boys had sons and the sons loved each other? That kind of thing.
What we're going to do on this podcast is basically we're just going to scroll through the New Mobile Report Gundam Wing Frozen Teardrop entry on the Gundam Wiki and just pick out things that upset us, basically.
Yeah, and just let ourselves revel in it. And we can finally, because neither of us are going to read this unless, honestly, if it gets an official translation someday, which I doubt, I'll consider it. But
I mean, even the people working on it, like the one of the reasons it's hard to find translations is because translators, like fan translators, keep quitting because they think it sucks so much. And even like some of the people who have worked on it, like I believe Hajime Katoki, famous, the legendary mecha designer, has been like, yeah, I think this is pretty dumb. So not a lot of respect for the writing here.
It was written by Katsuyuki Sumisawa, who is the head writer on actual Gundam Wing.
Which is definitely a show that has no writing problems.
At all. It doesn't just weirdly run out of pace after 30 episodes. It doesn't change directors and then become a different tone entirely. None of that. It's a very consistent series.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so starting out, we have the beginning of the Mars Century with the Earth Sphere Union headed by President Dorothy Catalonia.
Yes! Let's go. Love my girl.
Apparently, Duo Maxwell has become like a Catholic priest.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Where is that? Father Maxwell!
And Sally Poe's kid, Kathy Poe, is running around being like, hey, listen, we need to wake up the Aurora Princess, because apparently after the events of, I'm guessing after the events of Endless Waltz, fucking, like, Spartan 117 Hero Yui was like, wake me when you need me, and went into cryosleep. Yeah.
What are you doing, sir? Finishing the series. Finishing the franchise.
Meanwhile, you know, mankind has finally truly moved into space because we've got the Mars Federation and a new Troa.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, God, I forgot.
Who looks exactly like Troa despite actually having like literally no relation to Troa, assassinates President Miliardo Peacecraft.
You serious?
Well, don't worry, it's not really Miliardo.
Oh, quote, sorry, and here it says, it's quote Miliardo Peacecraft, okay.
Yeah,
also,
it's...
I clicked into who the Aurora Princess is. Like, we're just going full spoilers with this, right? We're fine with
yes,
this.
Yes, yes.
The Aurora Princess links to Hiro Yui, so let's get there. Let's just get there.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's yeah.
I just recently watched, and I'm not going to talk anything about it, obviously, but Gundam 00 Awakening of the Trailblazer. So I know a thing or two about movie sequels to series getting uh-huh. really absurd, but I did not expect the Aurora Princess Hiro Yui.
Well, how do you feel about Dr. T, who is Troa, and Inspector W, who is Catra?
All of these names link to things that, it's just like rolling the dice. Like, what's this going to link to? Instructor W? Sure. Best part about Catra being in this is that he has a daughter. Is that his daughter, Katarine Ood Winner?
I think it's his clone sister.
Oh God, there is a whole thing in the books about clones.
Well, that's already a thing in the normal series, right?
Yeah.
Where Catra has a bunch of clone sisters, basically. And this is just the latest one is Katarine Ood Winner. Gonna be honest though. So listen, this writing sucks, right?
Yeah.
But like, you know, the artist involved. She looks cool.
Yeah, she got like a violin. She basically looks like feminine Catra.
Like a more somber one,
yes,
perhaps.
More a little bit more serious. Should we see her in her main art with a violin? She's got a great outfit on. I mean, she's cool. I dig it. And she's got glasses.
And this page for her says she is also capable of controlling the Maganak mobile dolls by playing music on a keyboard.
What? This is like opening up a fucking toy box and you're just allowed to play with everything. This is incredible.
Also, why does she have a voice actress?
I think there's like audio play stuff. I don't know what the whole extent
that would
of like
sense.
How Frozen
okay.
Teardrop has been released is. I don't know all of it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so yeah, we've got Troa's clone sister.
Yep, love it.
Younger sister. Who she's along with New Troa, they're training to be the next generation of Gundam pilots.
Troa Phobos, who, yet, like you said, is just Troa.
Yeah, but Katarin is like, you know what? No, fuck all this. I'm defecting to the Mars Federation's leader, Relina Peacecraft.
Oh, fuck. She said, I couldn't figure out Earth. I gave up. I said, I got my ass to Mars.
So now we've got Hiro and Relina on opposite sides for some reason.
And, like, nobody aged in this? Like, if you go to, like, Relina's page and then you jump to her art for Mars Century 22, she doesn't look that much older. I know they're supposed to be, like, teens in...
Oh, but she's in this... She has the fucking Zex mask!
Yeah, she fucking does. Oh, she's super... I didn't think that was her. I thought that was, like, Zex behind her. But, yeah, that's definitely her.
No.
Oh, no.
That sucks, and it rules. apparently, at one point, she had the PPP virus.
Oh, no.
So, what we're going to do now is, at this point, it just gets kind of wall of text summary. So, I think we should scroll past this and just start talking characters.
Yes. Also, I think the people have given up summarizing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they've got a summary for the prologue, and then just a list of chapters with no summaries because no one cares anymore.
Who cares? Oh. We could do it, Six. We could just read Frozen Teardrop. No. We can't.
I don't know enough Japanese.
And all the translations are bad, and it's like kind of long. It's not even a light novel. It's a novel. I digress. Let's look at these characters.
Okay, so first of all, Kathy Poe.
Love it. Thanks.
Sally Poe's daughter. Currently, we don't know who her dad is. Which okay, sure, for why not? And she's mostly whenever there's like exposition, she's our perspective character for exposition.
Yeah.
Next, Hiro Yui, the legendary Gundam pilot. he is referred to as Sleeping Beauty.
I love this. They finally figured out that all of the Gundam pilots are the most. Fucking queer looking asses in the world, and they're like, what if they were princesses? Fine, fuck you.
also, I sent this to before I proposed this project to Alan. I sent Alan a picture of this, like, I'm sure, limited edition model of his mobile suit from this, which is the Wing Gundam Snow White, which honestly looks sick.
I want it so badly. I want it so badly.
It's like a mix of, like, wings and guns on the back. Like, the guns are, like, mixed in like feathers. It looks weird but kind of cool. Like, we talked about, you know, here on this podcast, we talked about the Wing Zero and, like, the manga versions where they give it, like, a million extra guns.
Yeah.
But this is actually a cool way to do it.
One of my favorite moments from The Simpsons is when they split the boys and the girls in the elementary school up. And in the boys' school, they're like, oh, it's free drawing time. And Nelson draws something that's just a mess of guns. And they're like, Nelson, can you describe this? And he's like, well, it's a gun that fires guns that shoot guns made out of guns that shoot guns. And that, dear listener, is what I love about this design.
You are going to like some of the frozen teardrop designs.
God bless the ring. I love this. We got Hiro Yui, who's piloting the Snow White. We have Father Maxwell, who is original series duo, as if to finally explain why he wears, like, a priest's outfit in original Gundam Wing.
He kind of does.
They, like, reverse solved it, even though I never needed that answer, but sure.
Okay, so he's not really he operates under the cover of a priest. Well, I guess he technically is a priest. He just doesn't take his job very seriously because he's more a bounty hunter and a high-risk gambler. And apparently Mars ages you extra fast because that's due to a strange phenomenon of living on Mars.
Yeah,
it's just
perfect.
A great. He appears to have aged rapidly.
If you go to his wiki page and jump to his Mars century, you got to tell me that art. I don't know if you've actually read any Tower of God or any, like, Korean webcomics. That looks like some fucking manhwa right there.
It really does.
I don't know how to explain that, but just that's what that is. That face, that shape of the face, everything.
Boy.
So we have the wonderful Father Maxwell. We've got Sister Hilde, the ex-wife of Father Maxwell, who runs the Spiker Orphanage in the land. None of these places are real. She cares for Zex and Noin's daughter, Naina. Okay, that's great that they had a kid, as well as her son, Duo. She and Duo were married but later divorced, the Duo Senior. Before becoming a nun, she was a librarian at the Martian National Library and an expert on nanotech.
Okay, so her career path has been soldier,
yep,
to, like, mechanic, to librarian, to nun.
That's it. That's all we want, really. That's the American dream. in that order, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have Duo Maxwell Jr., also known as Duo Maxwell. His attitude is much more abrasive than his father's, though closely resembles him. Oh, physically. Hilde states that he appeared at the orphanage from nowhere. However, implications are that he is, in fact, their son by blood. Oh, he just showed up and he was like, I'm your son. What's up? And he pilots the MS Warlock. Please tell me this has been drawn somewhere.
I am not finding any. Let's see. MS Warlock. Let's see if we can find anything on.
Get a Ragnarok online post. But.
Okay. So here's. Yes, I have found it.
Please.
I have found it. Here you go. Here you go, buddy.
I mean, if the Death Scythe already had funny toes, oh, no.
It's like, what if a Gundam was the Bandage Man and had two scythes?
Oh, my God. That's honestly a good evolution of the Death Scythe. Sure. What if
it's
it had two
bad.
Scythes? I mean, that's fan art, right? That's like, there's no.
It is, but if you look at other, like, official art of it,
uh-huh.
That's what it looks like.
Ugh, I love it.
Like, here's another one. Oh! That's what it looks like.
It's just got a big honk. They made the scythe figure. They just leaned into everything that made it dumb. I love this.
God bless.
I love mechs with capes. I love double weapons. This is perfect. So good. We have, to going back to characters, we got Dr. T, who's a different Troa Barton.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. T is the original Troa.
Dr. T is the original Troa. Developed the Snow White, the Warlock, Prometheus, and the Scheherazade. I need to see what all of these look like at some point.
Well, Prometheus, I know we have art of.
We do?
We'll get there. We'll get there. Let's wait till we get to its pilot.
We've got Charo Phobos, who's the pilot of the Scheherazade. He was called No Name and bears an uncanny resemblance to Troa. The assassin of Dick D. Nuff Noenheim, which means 9-10 nothing. Out of numbers, and they just called him 10-9-9, aka Miliarda Peacecraft. While escaping, he's captured and trained to pilot by Dr. T and Catherine Bloom, becoming the pilot of the Scheherazade. Is this Catherine Bloom the same Catherine that we know of?
I guess we'll have to...
It is.
Okay. Okay, scrolling down one. Yes. Yeah. It's just Catherine.
She actually looks cool in the Mars Century art. Good for her.
Yeah, Catherine. Catherine took care of herself. Good for her.
That's awesome. She apparently still appears quite youthful despite being well into her 40s. Anime is here.
Moving on to Instructor W. Yeah, it's Catra. He's a doctor now. Okay, we got Catarin again. Because this is actually the final entry. Oh, she steals the Prometheus suit.
Oh,
okay.
And she joins Verlina's side and has a romance with Trophobos in Mie Peacecraft?
So, are you ready to see Art of the Prometheus? Are you ready to be unhappy?
I love all of the wing designs in one way or the other. Please, this can't possibly disappoint me.
Okay, here you go. He's got like a cross Gatling gun.
That's so good. No, that's good. That's
the model
good.
Of it looks sick. The actual art looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, what if the heavy arms was like a weird metaphor for Jesus?
Right, exactly. Yeah. This leans in further into the like white savior of the Middle Eastern people, the desert people that Catra story seems to have.
Yeah,
it's
true.
They can't seem to nail down. It's like, he's bringing the cross. He's bringing Jesus to the people. But also, it's got a cross-shaped Gatling gun, and then like every orifice has more guns in it.
Sure,
like,
sure.
You can't look anywhere and not see more guns. And again, a cloak, which is a 10 out of 10 for me. I love that. He brings get it? Because he brings fire to the people. That's why he has
guns. I get it. That, you know, now that you say it.
It's not dumb anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's dunk.
It's not dumb anymore. It's dunk. You want to get into an even stupider one?
Yes, I would love to.
So we both love the Epion. I actually one of my favorite Gunpla that I've ever built is a Master Grade Epion, and Master Chang, who is Wufei, is now head of the Mars base. He's Kathy Poe's supervisor. He took care of Hero's capsule, and he's the pilot of the Epion White. Which, best detail, he calls it Nataku, as with his previous Gundams. He just doesn't ever want to come up with new names, so he calls everything Nataku. It's fine.
So I'm looking at this, and it seems like it is basically an Epion with a trident that's like blue and white.
Yeah, and it lights in there are model versions of it where the trident is green. I don't love this.
Why not? It's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, like, I think the thing we're looking at is painted Epion kits.
Like, right, of course. I mean, like, nothing official exists for these. So
true. But
they're just, people are taking their best guess based on, you know, what's been said and stuff.
But I wish the base was white. The base being blue is weird. And then the face being all dark. It's a little strange.
I mean, I think it's the only way that that you could get Wufei to pilot it. It makes sense to me, this use of color.
I would think that Wufei would want to pilot like a green Epion or something, but that would look disgusting.
Well, he's grown up now. He wants calming colors.
He wants soothing United States colors.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of soothing, Dorothy Catalonia, a.k.a. Neo Titanium Girl.
New display.
That's her nickname. And her aides as president of the Earth Sphere are Lady Un and Sylvia Noventa.
Sylvia, who was in the show for like 30 seconds?
Yeah, and like is like seemed like she was like 10 years old. She looked so weird.
Yeah, she's like a very
she was
young
drawn
child.
So young. Mm-hmm. But you know, I guess, you know, this is 20 years later. She's like 30 now or whatever.
Wow, incredible.
Oh, okay. Are you ready for the bait and switch? We got bait and switched.
I love
it. So Hiroyui is Sleeping Beauty. Relina Peacecraft is Little Prince. They swapped the names to trick you.
I love everything about that. I love everything.
Remember when in the first episode, she's like, oh, Hiro came down from the stars. Does that make him like a little star prince? because it was a reference to, like, you know, Japanese like folklore, and in English it made absolutely no fucking sense.
Yeah. Huh. Huh. Okay with that. I mean, it's very silly, but this whole thing is.
Oh no. Okay. reading her thing is really okay. So at first she seems like she's here for total pacifism, but actually she's being held hostage by the PPP nanotech virus.
With the PPP nanotech hidden within the Martian endemic vaccine prevents violent actions from being taken towards her. So
wait. Is this man an anti-vaxxer?
I think so.
Oh god.
I think so.
Why is this happening to me?
Because this came out in like 2010.
Oh boy.
Deep breath and out.
Well, anyway, so she has a virus hidden in a vaccine holding her hostage.
Don't we all? Sorry.
I mean, this whole podcast is a shit post. You're good.
This is all a hostage situation.
Okay, Noyne is just kind of doing, you know, wait Noyne a minute, what?
Zek/ Cyrene Wynn's wife.
Okay.
Oh, his new name is Cyrene
Wynn. Yeah. Yeah, well, he's going by Cyrene Wynn because there's a fake Zex.
I see.
A fake Miliardo, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Cyrene Wynn is now piloting the Talgi's Heaven.
Whoa, I gotta see that.
I've looked. There's nothing.
Nothing?
Damn. There's nothing. It's a nanotech Talgi's, apparently.
Oh, sure. Oh, anti-nanotech technology, yeah.
And then we have the twin children of Noyne and Miliardo. We have Nina Peacecraft, who is Relina's knight, apparently.
Love that.
And then Mil Peacecraft, because, you know, like numbers.
It's 1,000 in French. Me.
And he's a playful flautist.
Oh. Again, they saw that one scene in Wing where Troa and Catra are playing instruments, and they're like, we can just keep making kids that do this.
And apparently he's got the hots for Catarin.
I don't know about that.
And then we have 10-9-0, Disnuf Noinim, who is pretending to be Miliardo. He's actually Noin's older brother, and he's been assassinated. So. Yeah. He's no longer relevant. But however, their father, Nove Noinhim, is the real like man behind the throne. He's a capitalist? Okay.
Ooh, bummer.
He's just a capitalist. I mean, he's a villain, so.
Oh, okay. That's fine then.
But hey, the Zex doesn't stop here.
Oh god. They
because
they,
the
again,
Land of Green Republic.
They just picked things that they're like, people like Zex. Can we make 6 different Zexes? This is fine.
Then can we literally make a Zex with the nanobot replication of Zex Marquis, complete with his memories?
In universe, make a Zex real quick. Pop him out.
And he's got himself Epion, just the original ass Epion, I think. Great.
I love it.
All right. Okay, we're on to civilians now.
Okay. Any recognizable pals in here?
We have Iria, Catra's sister from that one episode.
Yep.
We have Rashid, the leader of the Maganax.
Yeah.
He's just around.
Good on him. We're still.
We have Marine Darlian, who's Relina's adoptive mom, who's just around. It seems like all of these are just people who are around.
People who are name dropped in the story.
Oh, and Stella, who is a chronically ill child from the Winter Hospital, who's friends with Catarin. And then there's cloning and stem cells, and then she died. Okay, sure.
Why? She was mean, and then she died. Congratulations.
Okay, wait.
I'm waiting.
What? There might be... What? Mm-hmm. Okay, so at this point, the thing's like, okay, now back in After Colony, is there like a flashback to before the series or something?
No, this is, I think, just characters that either get name dropped or are briefly in the new series that aren't in the main cast. Like, the Trace thing is saying that, this is great, by the way, Leader of Oz until what happens to him at the end of Gundam Wing. His origins and childhood are told in the beginning, and then his memories were uploaded into Hiro Yui's mind upon his revival.
So, okay, so we've got Hiro Yui with Trace permanently in his head being like, but is this elegant enough? And you're being like, God damn it.
The Gundam should have a cape. It should be a true tool of war if you want to duel me. Meet me in the desert. This gets dumber, doesn't it? I thought we were done at the we're out of the dumb parts.
No. Then we get Vint Kushrinada, who is Trace's half brother, who just got assassinated. It's fine.
Your only fate in a Gundam series is to live stupidly or die.
Live stupid or die hard.
There it is.
I love that movie.
It's a classic. It's a Christmas movie, if you think about it.
Skipping over some characters who are just rehashing, we have Elve Onegal.
Elve Onegal, the son of the Alliance general who led the invasion of the Sank Kingdom. He was one of Trace's students and a comrade of Zex and Noin. He vanished in the aftermath.
Okay, he was like, oh, hey, Zex, I know who you are. And Zex shoved him in a locker and then blew up the locker. Okay.
Oh, man, classic Zex. Big plays right there.
Yeah. All right. The Clark family, who are... So, wait. Hiro's, like... Listen, Hiro Yui is his real name. I accept this. But, apparently, his birth surname was Clark?
I don't know where to find more info on this at all. The boy is given the code name of Hiro Yui, is how I thought it was. But they never, like, say his real name.
Right. It's just, it's not relevant. But, yeah. Apparently, since Aoi Clark and Sace Clark are his biological mother and stepfather, respectively. There you go.
Hiro was born from a love affair between Aoi Clark and Odin Lowe, both agents working for Oz in the After Colony 170s. Owen broke off his relationship with Aoi a few years after he assassinated the original Hiro and became a freelancer, and so Hiro was raised by his mother and stepfather, Sace Clark, until they were both killed. Then he became the ward of Odin, who taught him how to survive and how to handle a gun. So Odin's like his Piccolo, who's like, your parents are either dead or useless. I'm going to make you a warm boy.
I guess so. He looks like a real Full Metal Alchemist motherfucker. Odin Lowe.
Yes, big time. Apparently, Hiro, as a kid, in like After Colony 188, so like years before Gundam Wing, he was sent to assassinate General Septim and obviously failed.
Yeah, I guess.
That's interesting. I don't know if I want to read all of the Hiro Yui wiki page, but that's a cool rabbit hole that we could climb down if we needed to.
Sure. Then we get some Kushrinadas.
Yes, the Kushrinada clan.
We get Angelina Kushrinada, who is, I guess, Trace's mom? Yeah, Trace's mom. Okay.
Daughter of Sankant, wife of Ayn Yui, and Trace's mother. Yeah.
Apparently, she lost her shit, and that
her subsequent man set her front. Why is it all women?
Because it's Gundam. They just don't. Gundam. They just, you know, they can't treat women decently. Sankant Kushrinada, who is Trace's granddad.
15 Kushrinada, I think.
Yes. He was like, hey, I've got these grandsons. I might as well use them for my profit. And then,
toss them in there.
Didn't work out great. And then Hundelt Catalonia.
Excuse me? Oh, it's 50, by the way, not 15. But anyways. Hundelt Catalonia, the father of Vaunt, the stepfather of Trace. Trace has like a big family who we never see any of and don't care about.
Well, I mean, he's a noble. That's how it goes. They've got, you know, relatives for days.
Sure.
He's the son of Duke Termael.
Wait. Oh, shit. The brother of Chilius and the son of Duke Termael.
Chilius. Man, you've got no Chilius.
I love his YouTube channel where he talks about theories and horror stories.
Number 9.
Chilius Catalonia. Duke Termael's my dad. Oh, man. I didn't know Duke Termael could have kids. That's incredible.
Apparently.
He seems busy, is what I mean. Apparently, Noventa and Septim both do show up in Frozen Teardrop at some point in some capacity.
He's dead, though. Septim's extreme. They're both extremely dead.
Then maybe they don't show up, and they're just mentioning them because they're exist.
Sure. Or maybe there is a flashback, like a time, you know, section. Given how much they're talking about past stuff, We got, what's up?
J Null is Dr. J.
Yeah, yeah. No, it turns out all the scientists and their code names were super stupid and basic.
That's awesome. Brilliant scientist and college friend of the original hero. Sorry, now this section's called The Colonies. So we've got original hero, who is the colony leader whose assassination set off Gundam Wing's plot. Friend of Dr. J, a.k.a. J. Null. Arrested for the bombing, which took the life of his friend Karant, but was bailed out by Sankant Kushranada for unknown reasons. Just fuck. J. Null went on to work on the mobile suit. He created a mobile suit called the Wyvern, which was the first suit to equip the Zero system and resembles the Epion. That's interesting.
I love that his motivation, the motivation for everything that happens in Gundam Wing, is that J. Null was like, hey, you killed your hero. We used to smoke in college together. Fuck you guys.
We used to play N64 and we used to play every weekend. Oh my god, you assholes. We're starting awards for this. Jeez.
Tomas Quarante was the inventor of PPPP.
Pizza, 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 pizza.
That's all we need to say about that. Ein Yui was Hiro Yui's nephew, and he just got blown up because why not?
Oh, I'd love to see a really complicated family tree with all these fucking names in it.
We've got Artemis Sedici.
Oh.
Who was...
Sedici.
She led a rebellion on the moon. A workers' rebellion. Good for her.
Yeah.
And then we get some peace crafts. We've got Katrina Peacecraft. She fell in love with the original hero Yui and then piloted the Wyvern. Seems like she wasn't very good at pacifism.
Damn, so much for Peacecraft.
And then her twin sister Sabrina.
And Katrina.
Didn't do anything, apparently.
Raised in seclusion, escaped the Sand Kingdom when it was attacked. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sabrina Peacecraft, the teenage Peacecraft. Like Sabrina, the teenage witch.
No, I got you.
Yeah, that's all the characters. One of the other great things, and I know we're not just going to like describe art here, but the covers for the different chapters of Frozen Teardrop are such a delight, especially if you grew up on the art style of Gundam Wing and you love that art style and you want to see it drawn differently. I don't think it's bad art. I just think that it's much smoother and everyone's way taller and way skinnier.
It honestly is more shoujo.
There you go. There you go.
And
yeah, much more exaggerated.
I kind of like it because of that.
One of my favorites is always, it's the one chapter, is it? Six Tankobon Volume, Nocturne of the Grief Part 2. Which is Troa with like his jester mask halfway up, and then Catra like pulling a bow like he's a fucking archer. Why not? And they're both in front of a Gundam, and there's feathers everywhere. That's fine. You got Wufei with a sword. You got Hiro with his cloaked Gundam.
We got Katarin and lots of bats, I think.
Oh, that's a fun one. Oh, that's she looks very vampirical.
And then if you scroll down to some of like the not the not actually like not covers necessarily, just other art. Uh-huh. I want to point out just some of these subtitles which the Gundam Wiki has written, which are pretty amazing. For example, here's this art of like a big Relina Peacecraft in the background with a foreground Hiro Yui looking grim. Hiro Yui receives his orders: kill Relina Peacecraft,
or die trying.
Or you've got this picture of Hiro or of Duo Maxwell II just kind of like taking an Instagram photo on top of the like like stasis Hiro.
One of my favorites, young Zex Marquise and Lucrezia Noin discuss war over tea. Aww.
Oh, yeah, what do you think about war? Kind of fucked, huh?
Seems
also
bad.
I really like that the picture of them, there's something about like the angle and the art. It looks like they're like having a conversation in like the like meeting area of like a prison. Like they're on either side of glass.
I was going to say that, like that through a mirror. I wonder if that's intentional. I doubt it.
Yeah, it just looks weird.
Very weird perspective.
There's also Hiro Yui with his biological dad who just looks like 30-year-old Hiro Yui.
Yeah. Like grizzled sad Yui. Is this the one where he's pointing a gun at the screen?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's classic. I love it so much.
Duo Maxwell talks to his new partner, Hiro Yui. Wow, see, it's cinematic parallels.
Yeah, I mean, some of these are also just like, you know, people always talk about how the art for Gundam Wing is so much cooler than the actual show, like all the side art. And a lot of these are just like, hey, what if we put the Gundam boys in cool outfits?
Okay, no, this is actually a crime. Historical Hiro Yui just looks like Hiro.
Oh, of course he does.
This is horrible.
That's perfect.
Why would you do this?
Just to make things confusing and so you don't have to make another character design. Duh. Oi. Older Hiro or some sort of Yui person playing the violin in the rain. That's great.
Honestly, this is a situation where I proposed this because I was like, hey, we're never going to read this.
Yeah.
And this sounds hilarious and terrible, right?
Yes. Yes. Wait, this podcast or?
Mean. But honestly, reading through this, it's like, it's so terrible I have to see it.
That's what I'm saying.
I really actually hope they adapt this someday. It's so bad that I can't look away.
it's kind of unsatisfying that this freaking wiki doesn't have a full, I mean, maybe if I look further, I can find a whole summary somewhere else, but it was released over the course of 6 years. Let's not forget that. So if it ever had narrative consistency, it must have lost it. It's a sequel to a beloved Gundam series that has its own problems, and it has not been translated officially yet. This is a weird thing. It does. So the voice acting, by the way, is because at some point they produced a Japanese only drama CD, which I don't know how much of the story that covers or what, but that's something you can also listen to or find if you need to get your fix and you understand Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
just want to hear the voice acting, maybe. But that's the thing. This is it, right? Because they've tried to make sequels to Gundam shows before, and sometimes it works out.
I mean, Universal Century, it's worked pretty well.
Universal Century, it's worked classically well. I think they've just not been able to nail that because so much of Gundam is about, like, getting to the final war, like, literally the last war that we want to have before we put all the guns away, the toys away.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Frozen Teardrop exists does so much to undersell, like, the plot of Endless Waltz and of Gundam Wing, where it's like, we finally did it. Now we can stop fighting. And we can finally agree to be pacifists. And this is like, no, but because it's still a franchise, right? You still got to make a thing for the kids.
I mean, honestly, I am here for it because, I mean, it's a problem that it is the classic problem of Gundam Wing specifically.
Yeah.
Where the first half of Gundam Wing is like, boy, pacifism. That's a nice idea that doesn't fucking work.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
and then they change directors, and they're like, no, wait, actually, it super works. Never mind, it's the best. Never mind, all we need is pacifism. And it's like,
we
no!
We should buy one big ship, and then we'll make pacifism work.
It's bad, actually. And it's frustrating to see them like lose that understanding, and in a weird way, it feels like from these chunked up bad summaries we're reading, that like Frozen Teardrop is like, no, seriously, that's not real. That doesn't happen.
Endless Waltz spoilers incoming.
Even our kids have to fight through it. Even after we sacrifice everything and like throw the Gundam into space.
Yeah, it's like, you know, spoilers for Endless Waltz, which we've mostly tried to avoid here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are like, if your solution to stopping wars is, like, we'll just throw all the weapons away, you'd also have to throw away everyone who knows how to make weapons, or they'll just make war when they get mad.
They're just
going
to make more weapons, yeah.
It's like, oh, man, you took away my guns. Now what am I going to do? I just have a gun-making factory and a bunch of employees. Oh, no.
Infinite money. Shoot.
How will I solve this? Yeah, I like Frozen Teardrop. I kind of like, I mean, again, I think if I actually engaged with it, I would not feel this way, probably. But just reading it, I like how stupid Frozen Teardrop is, because it feels like a stupid, like, epilogue to a naive ending. It's like, no, yeah. This is all dumb. You're all idiots. This is what you get.
Yeah. Check this out. It's the new generation, and they're still going through the same crap.
Mm-hmm.
I find it fascinating. I find it endlessly fascinating. These chapter titles, Whet My Appetite, Rhapsody of Loneliness, Encounter in Concerto. Like, it's all the... it's what, this is what happens when you ignore the themes and go for all aesthetics. Right? Because so much of Gundam Wing is, like, there's music involved. Like, if you just, like, take the story out, there's robots and fighting and battles and, you know, art and all this, like, beautiful Victorian aesthetic. Just purely that, and you made that into a new story. What do you get? You get fucking Frozen Teardrop, which is just more of that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems sick. And if they translated it officially or made an anime of it, which I would prefer, or like an OVA, I would watch it in a heartbeat and cover it with you.
Or if, you know, Oops More Anime were to return with us doing chapter by chapter read through Frozen Teardrop.
That's the monkey's paw curling of me going, I should really start a book club. The monkey's paw curls all five fingers and punches me in the fucking face. Thank you, monkeys.
Those fingers are wrapping around your neck and squeezing.
Yeah, exactly, and squeezing tightly for about, I don't know, a year, however long it would fucking take.
Oh, boy.
It's a lot of chapters. It's like 40 chapters.
But at least they'd all be terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I did read a little of the first chapter. I gave up pretty fast.
It's just hard to read. Like, when I was trying to read the Little Prince earlier this year, the first copy that I got was like 10 cents on Amazon. And I was like, why? I'm so lucky. Is it just because it's old? And I got a machine translated version of it. And I was like, trying to read poetry in machine translation or anything like that, it just it melts your brain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the translation that I found of Frozen Teardrop felt the same. I'm like, I don't know if some of this is machine, some of this is just bad. It's bad.
Well, thank you so much for swinging by, Alan, for talking Gundam Wing, our original love.
Our first love.
Indeed.
Our first date. Our first internet date over the battlefield of Gundam versus...
So if folks want to find more of your work, where would you recommend they do that?
Well, as I mentioned before, I've been on a couple of Scanline things, but I also have my own podcast. It's called Chats, a Television Podcast. You can listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts. It's CHATZ, a Television Podcast. I'm watching Western TV over there with my friend Magellan, and we're actually going to have six on this week. So keep an eye out for that if it hasn't come out yet or if it just came out. We're watching Better Off Ted, which is a fun show. I have that. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/chatspod. And I don't like social media. I've been thinking about deleting my Twitter again. Can you believe it? It's an election year. Fuck. So I don't have anything else, I guess, for now. If I do, I'll let you know.
Let me look at this chapter list.
Fuck. Speaking of Scanline Media, the Garnet Wager's back, baby.
Sure is.
If you liked this weird, chaotic energy, what if you added one more agent of pure hell to this formula and put a Korean game show in between the three of them?
What if you added some Garnet miserable motherfucker?
Yeah, just a real sassy trash man. The Garnet Wager is a podcast that Six and I started back into like 2018. The first podcast that we did together, actually, where we watched the Korean game show The Genius, and it's back. We're watching the final season with our friend Nick Cease, and it's a really fun time. That show is amazing. And I think Garnet Wager itself is also quite fun.
Sounds like I should check out this show.
I recommend it. No, honestly, I recommend it. You know, it's full of twists and turns. And I want to say thank you. I've been an avid listener of Mechanista NG, and I enjoy the episodes every single week. You and Dylan have a lovely dynamic, and I appreciate your commitment to talking about all of these dang robots.
Oh, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next episode, I'm sure we'll be back with some more of that. And also the previous episode, sandwiched on either side by some good, you know, robot talk. But in case you don't know who I am, which, you know, maybe you're better off. But I'm at Six Detmar on Twitter, SIXDETTMAR. And I do my work on scanlinemedia.com and patreon.com/scanlinemedia. And until next time, folks, peace out.
Keep crying. Get it because it's frozen.